Drive Time on RTE Radio 1. Sponsored by Zurich. For pensions, protection, savings and investments. At Zurich, we deal in peace of mind.
Israel and Hamas have been engaging in indirect ceasefire talks brokered by Qatari and Egyptian mediators since last Friday. Hamas says it's committed to reaching an agreement, but Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu issued a statement alleging Hamas hasn't yet provided a hostage list. Donald Trump has said there will be a hell to pay in Gaza if the hostages are not released before his inauguration in January. Here he is speaking just minutes ago at a Mar-a-Lago press conference.
If those hostages aren't back, I don't want to hurt your negotiation. If they're not back by the time I get into office, all hell will break out in the Middle East. And it will not be good for Hamas, and it will not be good, frankly, for anyone. All hell will break out. I don't have to say anymore, but that's what it is. And they should have given them back a long time. They should have never taken them. There should have never been the attack of October 7th. People forget that. But there was, and many people are killed. They're no longer hostages.
That's Donald Trump holding a press conference, which is just about finishing, I think, now at Mar-a-Lago. According to the Gaza Health Ministry, the Israeli military offensive has killed at least 45,805 Palestinians since October the 8th. Well, just before coming on air, I spoke with a representative of the Israeli hostage families, Ilan Keshet, about hopes for a ceasefire and hostage release. His cousin Yardan Bibas and his wife, along with their sons Ariel, who is 4, and 10-month-old Kefir, are being held captive in Gaza.
The problem is that, it happens every time. There have been so many almost, right? Like all the time, it's almost happening. It's just around the corner. And we are finding it harder and harder to believe what we are being told from everyone. And also, we can't really be too optimistic every time it happens, because it's too much of an emotional roller coaster. So my stance, and I know that many others as well, is that it's not real until it happens. Because it's always talk, it's always almost, it's always this condition and that condition, and every time it falls apart.
Yeah.
So we are hopeful that, of course, this time, like any other time, it won't fall apart. It's all we wish for, it's all I wish for, but I can't believe anything until it's actually real and until action is actually taken.
I understand.
Because
I understand that completely, I must say, because you won't know that your cousin, for example, your cousin Yardan and his wife and their sons are safe and well until you have them to hug and hold again, I suppose.
Yes, but even before that, I mean, I don't know that they are safe until I actually... I can't hope for anything meaningful until I know that actually action started to happen, as hostages are being moved, they are being seen and monitored by international or Israeli forces. So until that happens, it's only around the table talks between between the people of both sides, but they still suffer. They are still there. So,
they are suffering, and the families are suffering. I mean, what kind of a toll is it taking on all of the families, Ilan?
It's a continuous torture. It's a continuous nightmare, because you can't completely, you can't go back to your life. And you don't want to go back to your life, because you have a mission, and you have something that you have family that you want to save their lives, and the uncertainty around their well-being and their and for some of the hostages, even if whether they're even dead or alive. I mean, Yarden is most likely alive. It's been a few months since we got any sign of life from him, but Shiri, his wife, and both of the kids, there has been no news about them for the longest time. and we are not even sure if they are dead or not. And it's very hard to go on like that. You can't, you don't know what you're fighting for. You don't know if they are dead or not. You don't know if they are suffering. You don't know if they exist anymore. And it's very hard to explain this feeling under other than surreal, and just it's always there. It's always there, and I constantly think about them. I constantly get reminded about them, and it's from the silliest things, like every day, you know, like the last talk I had with Jordan was something stupid about how to preserve tomatoes, and every time I cut a salad, I mean, I think about him. And even I was at a restaurant and I thought like, Yarden and Shiri would have loved this place. And it's always there. It's always there.
Everything is a reminder. And that's totally understandable. And like, they should be released. Their sons, Ariel, for the children, Kefir, I think was 10 months old when they were captured.
He was actually less than 9 months old when he was captured, 8.5 months old.
So it's inhumane to hold anyone hostage, full stop, in this situation, but certainly children as well. How did you react, can I ask you, to the release of, now it was undated, the recording of hostage Liri Aalbag, one of the five female soldiers kidnapped in Hamas's October 7th attack. I know that has got coverage. I mean, what has been the reaction of the families to that?
It's sickening, and it's worrying. And to be honest, I still haven't managed to watch, to really focus and watch the video in its entirety, because it's too hard. I mean, of course, it means that, like, at the best case, this is the status of my family members, and she looks so unimaginably awful, and you know, and it's even more than that, because we, as the all of the families of the hostages, we became a sort of a very unfortunate community, and we are very together in the fate of our loved ones. So it's also harder for me. It's also hard for me to see the states of her and others, even if they're not my family.
I understand. And I think it says a lot, Elon, that you couldn't bring yourself to view that recording. I think it says a lot in terms of how difficult it is and how painful it is in the family's situation as a whole. Can I ask you if you hold out much hope then for the ceasefire talks? I know Israeli representatives arrived in Doha, in Qatar, on Friday, and these are indirect ceasefire talks brokered by Qatar and Egypt. I mean, is there much hope that this will broker something more permanent?
I only have very little, very specific thing that I'm a bit more hopeful about, and that is getting into office, because he has a lot of influence with Bibi and on Israel, and it's a huge change of pace. And unfortunately, if it's left to Israel, the Israeli government and Hamas alone, I think they are just playing games. I think at the end of the day, the ones who call the shots on each side don't really want a true agreement, even though many in the Israeli government and many, I think, like on the Palestinian side, want this to end, and most people want it to end. Unfortunately, there is a very twisted concentration of power around the final say in Bibi's hands, and on the other side, on their I don't know, their supreme leader's side. So it doesn't matter just how much everybody agrees that this war must end, and that they are dying by the minute, the hostages, and everything is just so twisted and living nightmare. It doesn't matter, because some very bad faith actors, I think, are not are not letting it, not letting the deal go through. And this is why it's so maddening and so even harder.
So you hope,
because it's not just logistics and agreements between sides. It's we have bad faith actors on both sides, and I don't know how they can live with themselves.
Do you support then Israel's military action at this point?
No, not really. I think we are past the. I mean, the Israeli people, the Israeli army had to, of course, respond and neutralize Hamas. And I still think that neutralizing Hamas is very important. But this is a very long-term effort that has to be done in a very intricate way. And unfortunately, we are past the point that the war had to be. The war is way too long. Mm-hmm. People of all sides are in pain, and I can speak. I mean, I can speak more faithfully to what I see in my life, not on the other side. But I can say that many of the soldiers and their families are beaten and tired, and all of the everyday lives are just, you know, the entire Israeli community and people, everyone is tired. Everyone is we are hearing about death, and we are experiencing the death of loved ones in the army, and the army is tired and making more mistakes, and you can't live like this so long.
And when you say you don't support the military action at this point, would that be, in your opinion, a widely held view within, let's say, within your community of, for the want of a better phrase, Elon, hostage families?
Absolutely, absolutely. Most of the people of the family members are against the war and want the war to end and let the healing process begin.
And there are a few
who don't see or not think this way.
Okay, and what about wider Israel then?
From what I've seen, polls and my everyday life, most people also want it to end. And many people, I don't know in most, but many people also believe that this war is prolonged by selfish personal and political reasons, and not entirely security based
reasons.
Reasons.
Okay.
So the trust in everyone involved is very low.
Can I ask you finally then, you mentioned Donald Trump coming to power in the US.
Yes.
Very, very briefly, what kind of change do you hope he will bring about, and how quickly do you hope that change will come about?
Of course, how quickly, I wish it was yesterday, but I believe that he is a man of action. I know he's a controversial figure, but he is a man of action. And he has a lot of influence with Bibi Netanyahu, who unfortunately I think is the bottleneck around this deal. And I know that he has a lot of influence, and Bibi has interest to impress him or being on his good side. And America also has a lot of say in the Israeli matters. So from what I've heard him saying, the very little, I think that he also wants the war to end. So I truly believe that there is a new opportunity here. We can be closer than we've been close ever before the last half a year or so. Mm-hmm. At least it's something new, and we know that the things that have been until now don't work. So each change is welcome.
Yeah. Well, let's hope the war does end. And let's hope that you get to see and hold your cousin Yared and his wife Shiri and their children very, very soon. Elon Kesha.
Thank you. It's all I wish for.
Elon Kesha, thank you very much indeed for talking to us on Drive Time. Thank you.
Thank you.